Hello and welcome to our 53rd episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast, recorded on October 15th, 2021. In today's episode, we will talk about so much. WordPress 5.9 go, no-go decision, Gutenberg releases 11.6 and 11.7, and ongoing discussions on themes and styles and editors and everything. I am Birgit Pollihaar, curator at the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate sponsored by Automattic. And I'm here with my co-host, Jagosz Czolkowski, code wrangler at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. How are you, Jagosz? How are you doing?
I'm great. I had a blast during my vacation. I want to tell you more about it, but we have so much to cover today that there isn't much time for chit-chat. How have you been lately, Birgit?
Well, I had a blast running live Q&As this week and last week and the week after next, so, and talking to developers and users. But you're right. Let's catch up after the show and let's get this started.
Yay. But before we start, we want to thank you, Jorge Calle, username Atrum Geost from Ecuador, for his 5-star review.
Yay!
Hooray! So we are so thrilled to have you as our listener. So Jorge wrote, the best All the Things Gutenberg podcast. This is my favorite Gutenberg and WP-related podcast. It helps me keep up to date with all the new and upcoming changes and to understand the reason behind those changes.
Oh, that's so nice. That's exactly what we're trying to do. Thank you, Jorge.
And yeah, we greetings could to put Ecuador. That as our mission. Yes, greetings.
Yes. All right, we have a few announcements because it's been a while. So the next live Q&A, put this on your calendar, is a discussion with the BuddyPress team and how they converted classic widgets into blocks. And we learn what was hard and got easier over the first two times they did it. Join us on October 28th at noon Eastern, 1600 UTC, with Mathieu Witt, David Cavens, and Varun Dubi on the live Q&A show. It's going to be really, really interesting, especially for developers who still have a little bit on the edge to kind of jump into Gutenberg development. Also, theme developers who have widgets in their themes. So it's definitely very going to be educational because we will have some demos.
Yeah, speaking I guess it of, should be also useful for the developers who have plugins and they still waited to convert them to blocks because it's all about that, right?
Right, right. Everything needs to be a block now. And it's so much better for the user users to use them because everything's just one concept. Yeah, they don't have to do the mystery meat with what are widgets, what are menus, what are sidebar, and all this kind of thing. Yeah, so speaking of live Q&As, yesterday I had the privilege to host a discussion among WordPress giants. Mark Jaquith, core committer for 17 years, Helen Husandi, working on WordPress for 10 years, and Riad Benguela, who is the newbie in that regard.
A rookie.
But he's already working on Gutenberg for 5 or even 7 years. Yeah,
yes, so,
five years, and they discussed how can we make building blocks easier. And it was a follow-up on a Twitter thread. Mark started with the question, what if building custom blocks for the block editor was as easy as supplying attributes and a block of HTML? What if this produced React editing code and PHP rendering code without a build step? Coincidentally enough, he and Riad, independently of each other, we're exploring some technical avenues for that, and Helen was too. So, Jagosz, you know more about the technical framework and underpinnings of Gutenberg. What was your take from the discussion yesterday?
So I was really excited to see this discussion happening in the forum where people have more time to express their ideas, where they come from, what's the use case, and how they arrived at similar conclusions, which is the best part of that. That, you know, all three peoples that they were working on different aspects, like Riyadh is working only on core, mostly for on core, and like Helen is doing work for customers, and same with Mark. And they had basically through different venues came to the same conclusions. And it's really nice that we have like good understanding where it should all go now. And those ideas that they both shared are pretty decent. And I guess this is something that should be materialized in the future. And that should greatly benefit all the developers dealing with blocks on a daily basis. So it's really cool. And I encourage everyone who is doing block development to catch up with this discussion. And also check the references they mentioned. One is from Riyadh. It's on his GitHub. It's called Block. You will provide links. And Mark, he also has the same idea. I believe it's called Blockstar, like, you know, the code names. And yeah, that's really insightful from my perspective. I learned a lot, and especially about the background and all the friction people have and the pain points. It's something that, you know, as a core team member, I heard a lot about that, but it was like more on the side of showing like what's wrong and not necessarily what are the challenges people have on a daily basis that end up with all the frustration they share, which is like very limited, and especially on Twitter, which is like, you know, right. A few right. characters.
Yeah. It's very, so I also like that both Mark and Helen expressed and emphasized that the ideas that they had on how to do some templating and all that would not have been possible from the beginning, because you need some underpinnings in the already working, yeah, and some expansion of the API. Mark mentioned the block API version 2, and where the PHP and JavaScript have the same information about blocks, that was necessary to actually even think about any of the additional helper function, tool function for block editing and block writing or building. Yeah, and they also expressed that it shouldn't, it's not necessarily something that needs to be in core, but it could be one of the official tool building for plugin developers. So it was a really good discussion that I will also share in the show notes Helen Husandi's blog post called Exploring Custom Blocks from a PHP-Centric Developer UX Point of View, where she even more elaborated on where she was coming from the agency work there.
Yeah, definitely. I would, I could continue on this topic for long. So, but let's go to the most important announcement of the day, which is the go, no-go decisions. So the meeting happened yesterday. The official post isn't ready yet. And like yesterday, which will be October 14. And so we spoke with Matthias and Hector Prieto, who attended the meeting. And it looks like all the features discussed during the session should be included in the WordPress 5.9 release, which means that block teams will be supported as an option with a, how they call it, a remark that there will be something like early access or something along those lines. So just to build proper expectations for users. At the same time, it's worth to mention that the new 2022 theme built out of the blocks will ship with WordPress. So therefore the default experience with themes for all new websites will start with blocks. I think it's a huge and super exciting to see it happening finally. Like it took so much time. So, but you know, there is more. Do you want to say something about that?
Well, I just wanted to notice that the theme 22 was actually introduced last week by Kjell Rikstad, and he's working with Jeff Ong on it. And we will share, of course, the link in the show notes. But if you want to check it out, it's on the design, actually on the Core Make blog, very buried, but it's beautiful. And he also has some ways how he can change the theme JSON and then make the theme a total different look than what he's originally planned there. So it's really nice. So, but you had more to say about the go, no go from Matias Ventura.
Yeah, you sidetracked my brain now for the 2022 theme. It's really beautiful. I really admire the work done with that, especially because it was very challenging on the technical level. We had to build all the blocks to make that happen. Yeah, but the outcome is really good. I also would like to bring to your attention the issue that was created today by Matias, which contains a series of bugs and shortcomings that he faced during preparation for this 5.9 go-no-go decisions meeting. And we'll share the link to the issue, which has the number 35662. And it only confirms that aren't any significant bugs that put too much risk on their rollout plan. However, it will be essential to sort out those minor issues because they might negatively impact the first user impression. And one more thing to mention is that you all will be able to watch the progress of the release execution in the traditional way, which is through the issue, through the project board, which is in Gutenberg, and the name is WordPress 5.9 must-haves. And the project number is 62.
Yeah, and thank you for the summary there. There's actually a video that you can, it was a one-hour meeting and they recorded it. It's available on WordPress.tv. And I wanted to go still for those who, the schedule of the release. So feature freeze and will be November 9th. That's 42 days after go, no go. So from today on, it's 41 days. And then
or even
801...
40 because the meeting was postponed on one day.
Oh, right. It's actually 39. So beta 1 will be released or is scheduled to be released November 16th. And then the release candidate 1 is scheduled to be released November 30th. The final release is scheduled for December 14th, 2021. And we'll have from the Gutenberg plugin releases, the latest one will be 11.9. So all the versions from 10.8 or 11.0, I think, to 11.9 release candidate. So 11.8 will still be a normal release on Gutenberg plugin. And then 11.9, the release candidate is the features that are in there will be then merged with Core, and then bug fixing starts. Yeah. And I just also want to mention that before the go, no-go meeting, the group working on the navigation block and navigation editor screen held a hallway hangout, so to speak. And among other things, they concluded that the navigation editor screen itself is not ready for 5.9. So only the navigation block and the block for new navigation. And I think it has some, I don't think it has a feature for existing menus. So we need to see about that. But the main reason why they are not think they won't solve the underlying backwards compatibility issues successfully before the release. And as a menu is the major part of a website, there are a myriad of third-party products tapping into the current features, and they all need to be accommodated in one way or other. So there's a summary post about that on the Core blog. We share the links, of course, and there's also a video where you can also follow along on the meeting. We will share all the relevant links for the 5.9 at the current stage in our show notes. That's the summary post of the meeting, Matthias's roadmap, Josefa's planning post, and then the meeting recording, as well as the summary post by Hector Prieto. So that's
about
that.
Just to summarize, So the navigation block is going to be included, right? Because it's crucial to have it for the block themes.
Yes, yes. But they were still kind of trying to figure out if they need a second block for the backwards compatibility or they want to put it all in one block. And they concluded now that they don't want to burden the new feature, the new navigation block, with the legacy part from 18 years of WordPress development. So they are working on a second block that is the compatibility, that handles the compatibility issues. But also some of the plugins actually tab into the navigation editor screen as well, and the customizer. So there are so many different branches of what to think about that they said, okay, we need to kind of take a step back and see that we're not making the same mistake that happened with the widget editor, where they weren't having enough tests with third-party plugins to get this out. So yeah, so that's about the release. I'm totally excited about it, especially because of the block theme with the full site editing. We will have some new or old terms. I think we were always talking about the block-based theme. It's now called block theme. And we're talking about the site editor or template editor. Now it's the editor. And we were talking about the global styles. They're just be the styles, because yeah, that's all there is.
Yeah, everything gets simplified.
Simplicity is to aim for. Yes,
even the user experience that the blocks provide.
Yeah, and
okay, let's move to another point. Yeah, so WordCamp US. I didn't watch it live. I rewatched some talks afterwards. How about you, Birgit?
Oh, I watched it live. I took the day off from other work so I could really concentrate on that. And my favorite talks were, I couldn't decide on the favorite, so I have three favorite talks. And one was from Rich Tabor from Extendify. His talk was Building Modern WordPress Sites, the Interplay of Blocks, Pattern, and Theme JSON. And that's definitely a very good presentation to watch, not only because all his slides were so beautiful and his voice was so soothing. We were all very relaxed about all the new things that come to WordPress, but he also made very clear how all these things work together.
Yeah, I saw also that some people were confused whether it's an advertisement for WordPress or is it the actual talk.
And then the other one was A Voice to the New White House Administration with the Block Editor by Helen Husandi. It was an hour-long presentation, but it had a few different parts in there. One was making clear that the advantages between a form-based content collection screen to the what you see is what you get editor, and how they accomplished that. And they actually built custom blocks. They did not for the experience. And then Helen, in the second part of it, she also went in and explained why native blocks, Gutenberg blocks, are so important. And then went on to actually show how she coded one of the and made the difference between the different and showed the difference between the approaches that they were exploring and where they finally settled. She has actually some code examples in there, and she walked us through her setup. That was really good. So it was a lot of things packed in there, but it was one whole presentation. And then the last one was Kale Rigstad, who showed us some creative uses of block styles. And block styles is something that you use the core block, but you add additional CSS to it. That's pretty much what block styles are. And he showed how to do this. He also shared his repository, but he did all kind of different graphical and animation. And it was just beautiful. You had to see what is all possible with the just using block styles. Yeah, you don't have to do a whole lot of programming from that, at least not in JavaScript or in PHP. You need to do a lot of CSS for that. So, but that's, yeah, a lot of designers know that part. And I think it's a good starting point to get your creative juices going. So, yeah, how about you? What did you watch on the rerun?
Also, I watched all the talks you mentioned, so you took my picks. Anyway, I have one more to share. So the one is from Corey Webb, software engineer at Fast. And he had a talk named Demystifying Gutenberg Blocks, Understanding First Steps to Becoming a Gutenberg Developer. And I really liked the talk because it was structured in a very nice way. So it covered all the APIs, the basic APIs you need to know to start with blocks. But he also added the section where it was nice to know. And there is like some additional like going further if you want to extend your knowledge base, then there are some other topics. So that's a good way of approaching that, and it will be super beneficial for anyone who either already started working with blocks or they want to start, because just like it covers all the like levels, like if you, when you want to become a master, going from the beginner and like scaling your knowledge. So I like that about this talk.
Yeah, it was, if you watch that, you have all the pieces that you need to go from beginner to experienced. That's also a part of my talk that I that will be shown at the Page Builder Summit that starts on Monday with from Nathan Wrigley and NN Leroux. Darn it. And they were a lot of talks are there on the professional use of page builders in all kind of areas. And Anne is doing her full site editing talk, and I'm going to talk about how to customize blocks for client projects. And if you missed it, last week was also a theme developer live Q&A. Ellen Bauer, Anders Noren, and Carolina Niemark were on the show, and Anders showed his block theme Tove, and Ellen Bauer showed her studio's theme Ano as a hybrid theme. And I love their excitement about the new possibilities with themes and blocks and full site editing. They also shared how they made the journey from building classic themes to going block themes now. And they also answered a ton of questions from the audience. The recording is available on YouTube, and we will post transcript and resources on the Gutenberg Times next week.
Oh, I started listening to this live Q&A as well. It was pretty good, but I was driving, so I couldn't saw the demo, so I stopped, and I didn't have time to go back, but I definitely have to. And one thing that caught my attention was that Anders mentioned that one of the users of his team, he applied a lot of modification using styles and similar things, and he sent a link to show the end effect. And Anders said that he didn't recognize this team, he couldn't say it was his. So that's a great thing about the future of building themes. The user will be so much empowered to achieve their goals.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And speaking about themes, so there is a new site out there called wpblockpatterns.com. It's a place where you can find out how your block patterns or the block patterns in the directory look with any of the block themes that are in the repository. So I did a few tests, and I'm delighted to see that block patterns will persist even when you switch the theme on your site. So something that's very hard to do with third-party page builders, but it's also very hard to do with classic themes, you know, where you kind of sometimes lose content just because you switch themes. And now with block patterns, that's much better built, and they all persist, including the design, when you switch the theme. So it's really interesting to see. And speaking of block pattern, there's a small change in the pattern directory. The meta team is now added now a featured category, so the best patterns you can kind of look up in the featured category, and you can also select them from the inserter inside of the editor. And another community contribution came from Marius Jensen, and he updated his plugin called Persistent Block Editor Settings, and he added support for the following user settings: block breadcrumbs, that's the breadcrumbs on the bottom of a screen on and off, the change the most used blocks to what the user actually is doing and the caret positioning. And then all the settings are stored in the individual user profile information on the site, so that persists between computer or browser changes. I think it's a great plugin, and many, many people have asked for that. And so it has quite a following on the WordPress repository. I also think that sooner or later, I know that the core team is working on something like that, but it's still kind of blocked by some of the not finished things, I would say, yeah.
Yes, it's in progress for so long, and there were several approaches that tried to address that. Maybe it's good that it didn't happen before, because now we will have the several screens for the editor, and that brings another level of complexity. And still, the way it's structured, even in the local storage of the browser, so it's persists per browser at the moment, it's still something that might change slightly at the time of WordPress 5.9 release. But starting from that, I guess it's a very good moment to finally bring the same functionality to core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned this. I was just super distracting me because I was kind of counting the different editor screens that we have now, and it's quite a few. It's the post editor, it's the widget screen, it's template editor, it's the template parts editor, it's the reusable block editor. It's kind of really interesting.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. I mean, some of them are the same editors behind the scenes, but conceptually they are different. And now, as we will cover soon, we also have this zoom mode, so you can switch in the editor, as it will be called from now on, from a full template view to the template part view. So that's yet another way of looking at that.
Yeah, and well, finally, half hour into the show, we are at the releases. Gutenberg 11.6 was released on September 29th. The WP Tavern covered some of it, and of course, some of it is also in the... the W Tavern actually had two posts about it. One is about the release as a whole, and the other one was introducing the new API for locking blocks. I think that was one of the major features there. So let's go through it. We start with the query pagination now can use a flex layout, which is really cool. The site logo now has the feature to crop the image. So if your logo that you uploaded is not fitting in the spot, you can crop it. And now it's also possible to zoom and rotate the image. So that is really a step forward.
There is this item for gallery block, which is a toolbar button to convert old galleries to new format. I'm not quite sure it's something that will stay for longer, or is it something for the transition period? But it's great that this is now possible, because it will help with the ongoing efforts to bring inner blocks for the gallery.
So the gallery block has experienced a refactor. Instead of just having the IDs of the images in there and then rendering them, it actually comprises now of single image blocks that you can add all the different features that you have with the image block also to the single image in a gallery block. So you have then the gallery outer, and then the inner blocks are image blocks. And the rollout is that regard that it will not automatically convert the old to the new galleries until it's rolled out and then until it's coming to core, because right now it's still an experiment. So, but you can switch that over to the new gallery, and that's what it's called update in the button in your gallery toolbar, and then you can convert it to the new format. I think in the final rollout, it is when you open up the post, it will automatically convert it, but not with all the previous. So it will not touch that unless you really want it, or unless you edit that particular post. So yeah, and then the color picker got changed. It and is rolled out to, it's more accessible, and it also has a copy function and all that. It also makes, it makes the rounds now in, we saw it in 11.6 as well as in 11.7, that's gradually exchanged, yeah, so on all the blocks. And do you know anything else about the color picker?
No, I know that there is a big redesign happening, and I don't know why, but, you know, there is always a reason.
Yeah, I think it was accessibility problems that the old color picker had.
Maybe as far as you remember, that was something that was worked on before WordPress 5.0, which was a long time ago. And I'm sure it was accessible enough to get through to the release then. So maybe there was some concern that are addressed now.
Mm-hmm. So now there's a simple styles preview in the sidebar and of the template editor or site editor that you can modify some of the styles in your panel. And it also has now uses a navigation component in, that's just the underlying feature for the closed styles preview.
Yeah, so for the preview, it's something you see some characters and they it shows you like the typography, how it looks in practice, and also the colors that are applied to that. So it just gives you a slight preview, so you don't have to navigate through the page and look for that. It's pretty useful in my opinion.
Yeah, and you see the final version of it right now in the video that from last night's meeting of the go no-go when Matthias Ventura was demoing it. And it's a nice, also with additional color palette. So it has received quite a few iterations since it got added to the plugin. So full site editing, there is now basic support. The executive word is basic support for child themes when you have a block theme. So you can have different features added or switched on and off in your child theme that maybe the parent theme doesn't allow. You have different color settings and any settings that you want to, you can do in your theme JSON for the child theme and still get updates for your parent theme.
Yes, and the feature that I mentioned a few minutes before is a way to edit template parts in a special view. So when you are editing your template, you can use this drop-down menu with which is an icon with three dots. And there is this new option, edit template part. When you click that, then like everything disappears but the template part, and you can focus on editing only that area, which is pretty handy because in the context when there is a lot of blocks, it's hard to see when the template part starts or ends. So I like this addition.
Yeah, and then we come to the lock control for block type level. As we mentioned, there's an article that covers that as a whole at the WP Tavern. So at the attribute level, it supports locking the block from being moved or removed, and it hides the block moving arrows and the delete button if the block is locked. You can use that also with your, it's just an attribute in the block JSON, if I see this correctly. And you can also use that for your block patterns. Yeah, that can have locked and unlocked blocks. So
that's true. That would be a good use case, yes.
Yeah. And that's also something that Matthias demonstrated yesterday, last night in the video. So what else do we want to point out from the 11.6? The bug fixes are, well, we're going to jump over the bug fixes. And
I think you had something highlighted for the site editor.
Yes, the
basic plugin support.
Sorry. Yeah, the site editor now has basic also, executive reward is basic plugin support. It adds the support for the plugin sidebar. So that's the site editor is now the editor, and that's where you do the full site editing pieces. And the sidebar there can now be targeted by plugins with for the sidebar, for the menu items, and the menu, as well as close and open a general sidebar kind of action. So that's plugin developers, extenders will really be happy to hear about that. And they were waiting for that too. There was a big push for documentation updates, especially for the packages and the components. And that's really, so developers can now look up some of the documentation and don't have to figure out from code, what does this do?
I guess there were also some updates related to how to contribute to the WordPress components package. So that's like the most important part that builds all the experience, all the UI elements and so on. So that's, there's a lot of movement in that area, which also shapes how global styles look. And you can see a lot of changes in that area. And that's all because of these efforts.
Yeah. All right. So code quality. I think that was all, wasn't all that we wanted to say about 11.6 in this episode?
I guess we have a lot of cover also from 11.7 that was released on October 13th. So it would be a fair to say that we are done with 11.6 release and just move to the next one, because it was a huge one and there was a lot of enhancements included in this one, way more than the one we already covered. So let me start with the changes to the block editor. So with the ongoing work on the navigation block and all the child blocks, there were a need to have a way to use also slash insert in this context. So far, you could do it only through the paragraph block, which was quite a big limitation, but it is now fixed. And it's enabled to some of the link to the blocks that allow you to insert links and stuff like this. So when you insert a link and it has some name, when you delete that name, and write a slash, then you will be able to insert a block, other type of blocks from that, like that fit in that context, which is pretty good. And this is something that is still, that the API behind that is still experimental. And every block author can experiment with that by enabling the flag called __ experimental slash inserter.
Yeah, I think what that also does is kind of gives you a little input screen right from the slash inserter, not that you have to, up until now, the slash inserter only kind of added the, gives you a fast access to adding a block, but now you can actually add also some parameters to that and enter it right there. So that's a real speeding up the workflow quite tremendously. So as you said, any block can have that. So it's also the plugin, the blocks that come with plugins can also use that. So that's really good, immediately extender friendly. So it also is enabled the ability to create pages directly from the inline link UI on the navigation bar. The new empty page gets created. That's a feature that comes over from the other editor screen. But I think I really like how they implemented that, that the new empty page gets created behind the scene with a title set on the text typed in the search input field. So that's definitely also a fast way to create a menu when you know you have the outline of your website and you just kind of create the menu headers and then it automatically creates all the pages for it as well. That's really cool.
Yeah, and at the end of the process of creating your navigation, you just go to those pages and fill it with content, which is pretty nice. It should speed up the whole process really.
Exactly. Yeah, and in 11.6 there came the site logo cropping and image manipulating features. Now you also get with 11.7 you also get duotone support, which means that you can have a fixed color scheme around your website and every image that you have might fit it better into it. Yeah, is it? And that's, I really, that's a cool thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But there's more, like for the columns block. They enabled the block gap feature, which we covered in past episodes. And when it's combined with vertical margin support, you can have a really nice effect. So finally, you can add some spaces between columns, and there is a control for that, which allows that, and some nice animations that support that. So it's a really nice way that it was missing for so long. Now it's finally implemented.
Yeah, so if you're a theme developer who has actually taken out the gap between the columns, it can now be done through the interface. And I saw some nice animations or demos where you have three columns that are a different color, but they don't have a boundary, so they go from one color to the next without the background color of the site shining through, which is quite a nice effect when you just want to do liven up the text, the wall of text, when you're writing so much, and just have some graphical play around with it, interspersed there. The navigation. Oh yeah. So from the navigation block, you can now transform your link into other allowed navigation blocks, right? So you can transform it into a submenu or a site logo or a home link or a social icon, so which is cool. That you can, if you change your mind on some of the links.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what happens with the content. For instance, if you have a site logo and you want to transfer it in something else, which probably will have a different URL, maybe it uses just the same URL, and then you just need to edit that. Anyways, it's really interesting idea to speed up the process.
Well, this one is actually only going from a link to something else, not the other way around. So I don't.
Or is it also?
Yeah.
Because like the initial idea that I always that stuck in my mind, that all the transforms should be two ways. So if you convert from something, you are able to convert that back. Maybe it's now relaxed. You can always use an undo button. And that should be pretty much it. So I guess it's whatever makes it easier for user, it's fine.
Yeah. From my perspective, I need to test that. Yeah, for this, if there is a way going back, just from a social icon link to just a mere menu link, but that's an interesting. Maybe it's a different context here. Yeah. Now you can actually. So there was a problem when
Just to explain that why the rule was like that. So when you are transforming from the heading to the paragraph, then you use the same content and it's pretty straightforward. However, if you would like to go from the image to cover block, then you have like only the image. But as soon as you add some heading or something like that in the cover image, when you go back to the image block, then it isn't quite sure what should happen with this heading. So you could lose some content.
I get it. Yeah, it's I'm only being situational, but I've never had the situation that I have already a cover block and only want to go back to an image. So I think that's just a lack of imagination, I guess.
Also, when you invested so much time to polish your cover block and make it pretty, it doesn't make any sense to go back to the image.
Yeah, it's so true. Yes, yeah. So the next item on our list is the show the none as an alignment option and use contextual text to clarify the settings. So there are now hints included in the alignment options. So sprint text maximum wide 720 pixels wide or something like that. So it explains a little bit to the user what does it mean when you change something to align wide or to full width. And some users had the trouble to see, and I'm one of those, to see that you can uncheck those alignments and then remove it. So now there is an option that says no alignment, just do what you normally do as block. Yeah, don't make it wide or so go out of the content. So I think that's a good addition there, because I got totally utterly confused. I said, oh, I can switch it just off, but it was not a good.
Yeah, you had to click on the same option again to disable it, which wasn't so straightforward.
That's a toggle switch that wasn't clear,
I wanted to emphasize that the number you mentioned, it's not something that it's hard-coded. It depends on the theme, so it is able to detect the context and like provide a very useful information, which is that, can vary between themes, right?
Is that coming from the theme JSON file, do you know?
I probably computed on the fly using some JavaScript.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's some great, but we are not done yet. So what's the next thing?
So format library. So this is one of the options you have when you have text-based blocks. So like before, it was only possible to change the foreground color of your text. So like, you know, change it to something different. Now there is also an option to change the background color or the highlight, how it's called in other tools. And the change was applied to the existing control. So now you have a pop-up, the dialogue, which has tabs. So you can switch between text and background and apply those different colors.
I think that's a feature that has been missing from the beginning for a very long time, because that was something that you could do in the classic editor very easily with the little toolbars up there, mm-hmm. that you have. You can just highlight a word in your text within the paragraph and then give it a different text color or give it a different background color. The text color was still there, is already there, but now you also can change the background color of that. Yeah, so it you find it at the same place where you also find the text color change in your paragraph toolbar. All right. You can now, as a theme developer, you can now also set presets on the duotone for your theme. So if you say, every duotone, when it comes out of default, should be a blue filter or a pink filter or something like that. So you can help your user to set the right duotone on a certain images in the content.
Yeah, and you can change it per block, so that's pretty nice. You can say that, site logo, I want to have a red filter, and that's also possible now.
Yeah, the possibilities become endless.
Yeah, and in general, all the management for colors became so complex that now it got extracted. Like the color palette, it's in its own global or styles screen. And it's like basically you need to, when you go to the editor for editing, for changing your site, when you go to this styles sidebar, now you need to first click on the color link and then it will show all the colors you have, and you can also drill down to the palette or individual elements to change those settings.
And as the next iteration, probably not for 5.9 because it takes a little more, but one of the features that will come is that you can, that you also can have multiple color palettes to choose from, or have a color palette directory where you can kind of grab a wonderful, so Matt Mullenweg actually mentioned that in yesterday's video, that there is a colorpalette.com site where you can pick the color palette that you like, and then you get all the hex decimal values for it for your site. That would be so cool to actually have a service like that, that then can pull in new color palettes for your theme there, or for your site. So this is open so many possibilities. It's really mind-boggling. Right now we just have these three screens, like the all the styles, then the color styles, and then the color palette separate, where you can add additional colors to it.
Yeah, so it's really hard to wrap your head around how colors work at the moment. So if I am correct, now you have the default colors that come from the WordPress core. Then you have theme styles that every team can provide. And it looks like you can also, the users can define their own colors right now. So
Yeah, and it, the hierarchy is users first, then the theme, then the core, yes. Right? But it's also that the theme can say, please disable custom colors. My users don't know how to use color. Which, yes. To offset or to avoid the GeoCities kind of interesting page designs. Yeah.
And to make it even more advanced, it's also possible to say that a team author can say that for this particular block, I want to have a different color palette.
Yeah. There's also something new, and I didn't realize that until now when I see the screenshot that I was looking at here from the post, that in the styles, there was up until 11.6 with a new version, now you can actually go directly to the blocks to change their settings. Before, you had to close the sidebar from the styles, from the global styles, and go back to the, when you do template editing, you have to go back to the blocks sidebar. So that, and there wasn't a clear path for that. So now you can, I see here a blocks as another panel that you can open there. So that's really cool. All right, next thing, the template editor got some new workflow things. So there's a back button now to for the isolated template part editor. When you drill down, you can go back up the rabbit hole again. And then also the template areas have added some template details like header and footer areas there. So that's really cool.
Basically, when you go to the header and you click on the name of the template you are currently editing, you not only see the details about the theme template, but also some details about template areas used in that template, which allows you to quickly navigate to them because there are drop-down menus with additional options.
Exactly, yeah. And then the navigation screen, still in experimental, has a new feature that you can add tooltips to navigation items in a setup state. So that is interesting.
I guess it's coming from the block editor. So when there is something wrong, like the link is missing in your navigation and where it should be, then it just underlines it with the squiggly line. And when you hover over it, it just shows you what the issue is.
Yeah, you don't want to have in the menu a link or a menu item that doesn't go anywhere. Yeah, that's, that helps you too. Then the next one is insert the navigation link blocks by default in the navigation block.
Yeah, so basically when you click on the plus sign to add another item, you can start writing and it will show you a list of matching links and pages. You can just click on one of them and that will add it to the menu. So you don't have to choose the type or, you know, it's like, don't like give me category page. No, we just type the name of the link and it just does everything behind the scenes.
Yeah, and that's it's a very nice feature because in the current menu screen, you really have to know what kind of type you're looking for, yeah? And this goes away right away with that feature. Got to test it, what happens with custom post types and post categories. Are these pages also being surfaced there? So, yeah. Wow, that was a lot in this release. And do we have anything else? I think that was it, right? The major parts.
Yeah, because we had to cover two Gutenberg plugin releases and pretty packed with features. I guess that's a lot already to process for our listeners.
Yeah, in one sitting, yes. So let's go to the active development and what's discussed. So I wanted to highlight again the gallery block refactor will come out of the experimental stage with the next plugin release. That's 11.8, that's in 2 weeks. And it will be in WordPress 5.9. And at the moment we do the extender outreach to plugin and theme developers to alert them to the changes. If you are one of those or you work for agencies, but you don't have public plugins or themes, in the repository, then I would suggest to go to the developer note that Glenn has already published a month ago on the changes, so you can see if that affects your gallery handling in your theme or in plugin. We will have it in the show notes, of course. And then on the FSE outreach program update, Anne McCarthy has another call for questions where you click on a button and have your question, and then it gets sent to her inbox, and then she finds the answers for that, and she will publish all the questions and answers in a post later on. The deadline for getting your question in is October 27th. That's in 2 weeks. And then she will, within a week, kind of publish that post. But this is also for 5.9, when full-site editing comes in with early access there, that you can get your questions answered, or also your fears. Either way is fine.
And McCarthy, yeah, I think we should also include a link to the previous installment and all the answers. I think there were about 50 questions answered. That was a lot. So maybe that would be also good to check. So, you know, maybe you already have answers for your questions and you don't have to reach out again.
Right. Yeah. And I think the reason that Anne does it now at this stage is because the last one was at the beginning of the year. Yeah. So with the, I don't know, 6 or 7 plugin releases that happened since then, quite a few things have changed. Some irritations that were, because it was annoying, or it was an interface that didn't make sense and you had questions there, that has been already fixed. And so the new questions, certainly also in regards to the go, no-go decision, I would wait till the post is out to read through it and get, because some of the answers might be in that summary post from the go, no-go meeting that Hector will publish. And then also from the FSE Outreach Program was the summary of the theme switching experience. Was a great read. There were quite a few theme developers who had some expectations there, that also went through, some site owners went through the testing and had some surprises there. And Channing Ritter on the design team did some nice mock-ups on how to make it a better experience too. So maybe it might not be part of 5.9, but it's definitely something that you who sent in or did the test have influenced how the next steps are going to work. So with that, get your questions in, think about the gallery block refactor, and then live Q&A October 28th with the BuddyPress team members on converting classic widgets to blocks. This is the end of our show. And
yeah, so I wanted to remind everyone that we are waiting for more reviews, and that's always great to hear from you. What do you think about the show? And you can also ping us on Twitter or send DMs with questions, with the feedback, whatever you'd like to talk about with us. And my handle is GZIOLO, and Birgit is BPH.
Yes, and as always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have questions and suggestions, you can also send them via email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And well, it was good to see you. I'm glad you're back from vacation and rested and ready to go. Thank you so much for being here. And a big thank you for our listeners to stay with us so truthfully and into another long episode. And that's it for me. Goodbye.
Thank you, Birgit. Thank you, everyone, for waiting 4 weeks for the next episode. And see you in 2 weeks. And we won't do so long breaks for quite a while, I hope. So goodbye.
Goodbye.